Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Learn more of God's Word and grow deeper in your walk with Christ.
I have an unusual title for the message this morning called The Day Satan Told the Truth. Now, we know Satan as a liar. And we know that Jesus said that Satan is a liar. In fact, in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And we see this taking place back in Genesis with Adam and Eve in the garden, that he's nothing but a liar. We know the ways that he lied to them. He lied to them by trying to put doubt in their mind about what God had said. He said, "Yea, hath God said." He lied to Adam and Eve about what God had said. In Genesis chapter 2, God says, "In the day you eat thereof, you will die." And in Genesis 3, Satan says, "You will not die." So we know that from the very beginning, he's done nothing but lie. And we know he's lying today. We know that he lies about the truth of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan blinds the minds of people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it really frustrates me sometimes when I'm witnessing to people and you know that their eternity is at stake. And you know there's a real heaven. You know there's a real hell. You know they exist. And the person you're talking to is going to spend eternity somewhere. And you're trying to get across to them, "We've sinned. And because we've sinned, we're condemned to an eternity in a horrible place called hell. But God loved you so much that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. And you just need to acknowledge your sin. Confess your sin and ask for forgiveness." And you can see in their eyes and in their demeanor, they're not listening to any of it. You say, "How can you do that? How can you not want to make sure you've taken care of eternity?" But Satan's blinding them. Satan is lying to them. He doesn't want them to know the truth, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that Satan also lied to God about Job. I'm going to be spending some time in Job chapter number 1 this morning as we go through some of the lies that Satan told about Job and some of the truths that we can learn from the lies that Satan told to God. Job chapter 1 and verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." There's a conversation that takes place between God and Satan. And God says, "Have you looked at my son Job?" And he says, "Yeah, I've seen him, but I know his heart." You don't know his heart. You just know the exterior of Job. I know his heart. The only reason Job does anything is because you give him so much. Doth Job fear God for naught? He only loves you. He only serves you. He only obeys you because he likes what you give him. It has nothing to do with anything else. If you stop giving him so much, he will curse you to your face. And Job never does that. Now, Job goes through some times of doubt and anger. If you read the whole book of Job, he has some emotional issues that he has to work through with all of this. But he never does do what Satan's goal was. And Satan's goal was that he would curse God and die. He didn't curse him after round one. In Job chapter 1 is round 1. In Job chapter 2 is round 2. In round 1, God allows him to mess with him. But he says, "You can't touch him physically." And so Satan killed his kids, and Satan took all of his wealth from him. And in Job chapter 1, Job responds to losing all of his children and losing his wealth. Job 1, 20 through 22. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. I don't know about you. I'm not sure I can do that. If all of a sudden my kids were all killed, if all of a sudden I lost everything, that my first and initial response would be, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job is a great man. He goes through this. He doesn't curse God. Then we get round two. God and Satan have another conversation. And Satan says, yeah, you let me touch him. Yeah, he survived losing his kids. He survived losing his wealth. But if you let me touch his health, he'll curse you to your face. And he doesn't do that. In fact, he takes away the support of his spouse as well. And Job responds this way in Job 2, 9 through 10. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She repeats Satan's goal there. So he'd lost the support of his spouse. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So he's lost his children, he's lost his wealth, he's lost his health, he's lost the support of his spouse, and he still does not curse God. And we see that Job does not live perfectly and righteously with a respect for God because of what God gives him. We see that he loves God, and he respects God, and he fears God to the point of being obedient to God. So Satan lied about Job. But in the conversations that we have with God and Satan about Job in Job chapters 1 and chapters number 2, we find three truths that Satan admits about God. Here's the first one. Satan admitted God protects us. That's the first truth that he spoke. Satan admits that God protects us. We go back to Job chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all he hath on every side? A hedge is a wall of protection. Satan says, I can't get to him. You are protecting him. You have put a wall of protection around him so that I can't get to him. And so Satan admits that God is the one that protects us. And we know from the Bible that God really is the one that's in total and complete control of everything in this earth, including us. God can do anything he wants to do, and no one can stop God from doing what he wants to do. Revelation 3 and verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. When God opens a door, nobody can shut it. And when God shuts a door, nobody can open it. I'm telling you, God's in control. God is in charge of everything, including us. Let me give you truth number two. Satan admitted that God prospers us. Satan admitted that God prospers us. Job chapter 1 and verse 10 again. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. This is a big admission by Satan. Satan said God blessed the work of his hand. God is the one that prospers us. Now, work is a good thing. We live in a time where people think work is a bad thing. The average person thinks, I would just love to win the lottery and never have to work another minute in my life. But work is a good thing, and God instituted work here on this earth for us. But even though we're to work and we're to work hard, it's still God is the one that blesses us. We need to work, but God is the one that blesses our work, the work that we do. He is the one that increases our substance in the land. If you can work with your hands, it's because God gave you the ability to do that work with your hands. This admission from Satan should also take away any fear we have of generous giving. I mean, once you get this in your head that God is the one that prospers us and God leads us to give, if he's the one that prospers us, there's no loss here at all. And again, I've said this before, but I love being part of such a generous church. That was exciting for you to announce that Camp Choff, that would $30,000 to fix that siding. That is a hallelujah moment. I mean, we give to the church, we give to missions, we give to special projects. Why? Because we believe God's the one that prospers us. And as we give to him, he prospers us. I love 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now look at this next line. Both riches and honor come from thee. Why? Because God is the one that prospers us. And then it says that thou reignest over all. You're in charge of everything. So you can move around whatever you have anytime you want it to give it to us. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. So once we really get this, Satan himself says, you're prospering him. Satan knows God wants to prosper you. But he makes us fearful about giving. He makes us scared to death that we're going to lose everything. Why would we ever fear giving to God, who gave us everything that we have and has the power and resources to take care of us? Now, does this mean that as a Christian and as a person who gives, that you'll never suffer any need in your life? No, that's not true at all. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. This is what Paul said. We consider Paul to be a pretty spiritual guy. We consider Paul to be a very godly man, obedient man. Did he just live a very financial, prosperous life? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, Paul lived that verse, and we're going to live these verses too. In fact, my wife and I are living verse 11 right now. And whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I mean, mercy's sake, I moved here from the beach of California. Where 72 is a very warm day. Where 60 is a very cold day. And the Lord wants me to be content in the state of Ohio. And we're learning that. We had a Sunday school activity last night. Beautiful evening. If you were outside last night, beautiful evening. So you have some good days. That's a good thing. But verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So no, you're not going to just have all money all the time. Money's a roller coaster. You have it, you lose it, you have it, you lose it. You go up and down with your finances because God's teaching us contentment. So we're not teaching prosperity theology here. There are times we're going to go through times. But we've always got to remember that Satan himself admitted that God is the one who prospers us. So we should never fear giving when God leads us to give. Third truth. Satan admitted that God alone has the power to permit trials and problems. He's admitted that God protects us. He has admitted that God prospers us. And now he's admitting that God alone is the one that permits things to happen in our life. Job chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Now, you got to know who's talking in these verses. God and Satan are having a conversation. So you got to know who's talking. In verse number 11, Satan is the one that's talking. Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Verse 12 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now that's when he went and he killed his kids and he had him lose all of his wealth. He said, you can't touch him personally. Job chapter 2, we come back to round 2, and we have the same kind of conversation, Job 2, 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. Let me make him sick, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Satan admits two times, Job 1 and Job 2, that he did not have the power himself in his without permission from God to mess with Job. And God granted that he would do that. Now, I'm totally convinced if Satan could have messed with Job, he would have messed with Job. And the only reason he didn't mess with Job is because he couldn't mess with Job. And he admitted that to God. God, the only way that I can mess with him to mess up his life is if you give me the permission to be able to do that. We see this same principle in the New Testament. The day that Jesus was arrested, we find out about another time that Satan asked for permission to mess with somebody. And he wanted to mess with all the disciples, but especially wanted to mess with Peter. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That word desired means to ask and receive an affirmative response. Satan asked for permission to mess with Peter, and he was given permission to do that. Satan targeted Peter to deny Christ and to walk out on him. Luke 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Satan wants Peter to deny Christ. Satan wanted Job to curse God. Do we see a kind of a pattern here? Satan wants you to walk out on God. Satan wants you to say, I have no faith in God. Satan wants you to deny him. That's the goal that he has for us. And he comes after Peter with that. Peter has no clue what's going on. And because he doesn't have a clue what's going on, he doesn't ask for help. He doesn't start praying. He doesn't do anything. We pick this up in the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse number 34. Jesus is talking to Peter. So Jesus said to him, to Peter, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, please pray for me. Help me. Help me that I don't do it. That's not what it says. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all his disciples. You know what Peter said? Peter said, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I can handle this. I wouldn't even think of doing something like that. And how many times we do that by going through life day after day after day without praying for God's wisdom, without praying for God's strength, without praying for God's help. And he says, I don't need any help. When you read this story and try to put it in context, it's hard to imagine all that was going on while Jesus was being arrested and crucified. In the middle of all the events that would lead up to his crucifixion, Satan has gone to God and asked for permission to sift Peter as wheat. So as Jesus is going through the arrest, the trial, the beating, the crucifixion, God allowed Satan to tempt his disciples to run out on him. And he allows it. Does that boggle your mind? That boggles my mind to think about that. With all that's going on, Satan comes to him and says, while Jesus is going through this, I want to mess with Peter. And God says, okay, you can do that. Why does God allow him to do that? Well, that's really the question of the ages. It's asked all through the Bible. If you have a digital concordance, just type in the word why and see how many times it shows up in the Bible. Why would God allow this to happen? We will not get all the answers about why God allows Satan to tempt us. But remember, Satan cannot do anything without God's permission. He will not allow Satan to tempt us more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We can see from the life of Peter that God used Satan's sifting of him to prepare him for a huge influence that he was going to have after Jesus rose from the dead. Now, we can't answer all the why questions, but God gives us enough information about Peter to know what was going on. Why in the world would God allow Satan to tempt Peter during the events of the crucifixion so he would deny Christ three times? Why would he allow it to do it? Because of what it was going to do for Peter. Here is what Jesus prayed again in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus said, I pray for you. There's going to be a failure. You're going to have to return. You're not going to walk out of me completely. It's going to be a complete failure where you don't come back. But there will be a failure. And when it happens, strengthen me. You're going to strengthen the brethren. So we know that that Peter had that failure and that he felt very bad about that failure. Luke 22, verse 62 says, once Peter had denied Christ and the rooster crowed, it says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He did fail. He felt miserable about his failure. So he's got to return now, just like Jesus prayed. Peter would return to the Lord because of Jesus' prayer and care. And we see all that as the story unfolds. When Jesus rose from the dead, He made sure that word was sent to Peter that he had risen from the dead. When Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, went to the tomb, we see this in Mark 16:7. But go your way, the angel is telling Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. So here's Peter. He's the one that denied Christ. He went out and wept bitterly. 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead. And one of the big communications that God wants Peter to get is Jesus is alive. Now, I'm not sure it was good news at that time. He had failed. He had wept bitterly. But he says, I'm alive. He wanted word to get to them. And then Jesus confronted and encouraged Peter when we get to John 21 by the side of the Sea of Galilee. You remember that? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He's confronting his sin, helping him through that sin and helping him move on from that sin. Jesus said when Peter returned to the Lord, he would strengthen the brethren. And boy, did he ever strengthen the brethren. We know that he was the one that preached the first sermon. We know that he strengthened the brethren from the books that he wrote. He strengthened the brethren then, and he strengthens us now. Now, you know the story. You know that Satan said, I want to mess with Peter. And God says, okay, you can mess with Peter. We know that Peter failed. We know he went out and wept bitterly. We know that Jesus came and took care of him and got him back on his feet and serving him again. And now he's writing a book, and he's the one that writes the verses that we all look at so much in our Christian life. He's the one that wrote that we're going to face fiery trials. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't get mad at God. Don't think you committed some horrible sin. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is, not may, not could, not happens to some people and not to others. Don't be concerned concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter just says flat out, guys, listen, Christian life gets rough. You're going to go through some very fiery trials, and it's going to happen to all of us. So when it happens, don't fall to pieces. He also gave us 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Can you again feel the passion there? People are going through life just like he did. Jesus is saying, Peter, Satan is going to sift you. He's going to try to get you to deny me. Don't worry about me. And Peter knows that other people felt just like he felt. When Jesus warned him, they weren't heeding the warning. And he's saying, listen up. He's out there. He wants to destroy you. Be like a policeman again. Here a policeman stops you. He stops you because you're not wearing a seatbelt and you get ticked. Why are you stopping me because I'm not wearing a seatbelt? Don't you have real crimes to fight? But what you don't know is that policeman just got done investigating an accident where somebody was killed or severely injured, all because they didn't have a seatbelt on. And he's saying, it could happen to you. It could happen to you. It could happen to you. And that's what Peter's saying here. Listen, Satan's out there, and he wants to destroy you. You've got to be sober. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to know what's going on. And Peter is also the one that wrote for us 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I cannot pretend to know why God permits all the trials in our lives, but I can tell you that he is in control of all the trials of our life. I can tell you that in asking God to permit him to mess with Job and Satan, Job and Peter, Satan admits that he is not in control, but God is. Always remember, Satan is not in control, not in control, not in control. Satan is not running amok on this earth. When I tell my police story about the robbery, God is never sitting in a patrol car someplace and the radio comes on and says, First National Bank just got robbed. And God says, oh no, let's get over there quick. Satan is not running amok. And God has no clue what's going on. God knows so much about what's going on. He told Peter in advance what was going to happen to prepare him. Let me tell you something. Every time you come to church, every time you pick up your Bible and read it, God is preparing you. He's putting his word in you to help you with the fiery trial that you're going to face, just like he did with Peter. Every time you come to church, that's why you're going to come to church every time you can. That's why church must be a priority. That's why reading your Bible must be a priority, because Satan is out there trying to destroy you. This time next year, he doesn't want you sitting in this church. He has a plan to get you out. And you get prepared for that by coming to church and hearing God's word preached and reading the Bible. I can tell you that God has a purpose for every time he permits. We may not know what that purpose is while we're on this earth, but we can ask for help. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find help, find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. Charge into heaven in prayer. Come boldly into prayer. And you come boldly into prayer and say, God, I'm going through fiery trial. Help me. And he says, I'm glad to help. I'm here for you. We don't have to walk in timidly and say, well, there's this long line. I'm not sure I can last this long line. You know, you ever thought, I can't pray about this. God has so much on his plate. He can't possibly deal with me. He says, come in boldly and say, I need help. And we will find the grace to help in the time of need when we go through those fiery trials. Aren't you glad God put his conversation with Satan and Job in the Bible for us? And he put the story of Peter in the Bible for us. We know that Satan lies all the time. But the one time Satan told the truth, it could be a huge help to us. So today, spend some time rejoicing in the fact that even Satan admits that right now God is protecting you, and pray for his protection. Right now, rejoice in the fact that God is prospering you, that God is the one that blesses the work of your hands. And even rejoice that God permits the trials and the problems in your life. Because when he permits for a purpose.
Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.